When we swam all of two places, we washed up on
This episode of Bitch Propaganda was recorded on Wednesday, October 7th at the Bitch headquarters in Portland, Oregon. Please be aware that the following podcast does contain a bit of explicit language, including the word bitch, of course. Also, there is tons of extra background noise in this particular podcast. We had a hard time scheduling a time to meet, and it turned out that we chose the time that had the absolute highest amount of foot traffic imaginable in the area where we record. So please forgive the footsteps, door creaks, mail postage meter sounds, and anything else you hear. We promise that we're working on getting a better spot to record. Thanks a lot for tuning in. Welcome back to another episode of Bitch Propaganda. It's like The View, except we do believe Roman Polanski is a rapist. I'm Kelsey Wallace, a web editor at Bitch, and with me today is...
I am Sherson Johnson, the web content manager.
And I am Joanna Widener, a contributing writer.
And today we're going to talk about some of the sexual transgressions that have been happening in television and movie culture and celebrity culture the past couple of weeks. There's been a lot. Thought we could start with David Letterman. For people who aren't clued in, which most of us probably are at this point, on Thursday night of last week, David Letterman, during his late night talk show, basically divulged that somebody was attempting to blackmail him. Another producer at the network, a 48 Hours producer, was attempting to blackmail him with evidence that Letterman had had sex with women who he worked with on his show. And then on Monday night's episode, he came back and gave a little bit more background information and also made a formal apology for his sexual misconduct and apologized to his longtime girlfriend, now wife, who's been hurt by his confession and the whole ordeal. And I don't know. I mean, first of all, I thought his original, just the way he brought it up on the show, was already just sort of weird. I mean, I know we're kind of in a media culture where, you know, Facebook and blogs and everybody's just kind of being so transparent about their actions, but I don't know if I even feel like it was appropriate for him to bring it up on TV.
It's kind of weird because it seems like the type of thing that he would usually poke fun at, like, that would be the center of his jokes, and then for it to be turned around like that, I think he was trying to sort of really nip it in the butt, which came out kind of awkward at first, when you're like, oh, yeah, about that, ha.
Something that was so painful, too, I don't know if anyone, I actually didn't watch it when it was aired, but I did watch clips from the show. Something that I felt was so painful was that it was obvious that the studio audience thought it was a joke at first. So there was, like, awkward laughs, and people just seemed really uncomfortable and confused.
Maybe it's just one big Andy Kaufman-esque ruse.
Right. I mean, it's just like, this is a comedy show, and it maybe isn't appropriate for you to be like, so this guy put a package in the back of my car with, like, artifacts proving that I'd have sex with women I work with, and now he's asking for $2 million or he'll put it in a screenplay.
Last week on the show, I told a little story about being blackmailed. And I wasn't going to talk about it anymore, but it seemed like people want to talk about it. And when you're blackmailed, it's a crime, and you're a victim. It's felony extortion is what it is, and it's a nasty thing to do to people. Now, being a victim, and if you happen to your behavior is responsible for hurting people, that's a separate part of the equation. And it did not occur to me last week when I was discussing having had sex with women who worked on this show that then what would happen is reporters and newspaper people and radio and TV would start pounding the staff and saying, what do you say, are you, and this and that. It was very, very unpleasant, and I would just like to set the record straight. No, I'm not having sex with these women. Those episodes are in the past. So my apologies to subjecting them to that vulnerability and being browbeaten and humiliated. It never occurred to me, and as a matter of fact, Alan Coulter kept wanting to know if we'd had sex. Do you remember that, Alan?
I did, and I don't remember.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
So.
Yeah, it sounds ridiculous.
It's creepy and weird, and just the way he brought it up. And I don't know, I mean, from just kind of like a media analysis standpoint, I also think it's really interesting. Obviously, they taped the show earlier in the day, so it was leaked, probably by studio audience members, although I don't know for sure. It was leaked midday that he was going to confess something mm-hmm. on the show. Mm-hmm. So when people tuned in Thursday night, it's like the audience was already expecting it, but when it had been taped earlier, like the live studio audience was totally blindsided by it. And we were having a conversation about this before we were recording, but it's just like, on the one hand, he's saying, okay, everyone is of age here, it was all consensual. Yes, I made a mistake by, you know, being unfaithful to my then girlfriend. I mean, he's saying that this happened a while ago, like prior to his marriage, but he was still dating this woman. And so, okay, I guess maybe not a problem. I mean, the studio executives are saying, you know, as long as everything's legal, we just really don't even want to make a comment on this. We don't care.
Mm-hmm. But then, there's the non-legal aspect. And it's just like, Dave, come on. Like, you slept with not just, like, one or two, but multiple women, apparently.
Yeah, he's using the word women. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I mean, he's an older man in a position of power, having sex with younger women who work for him. And I don't know if I feel comfortable with the fact that that's just becoming, like, totally accepted and fine. Or not becoming. Has for, you know,
see,
a long time.
One thing where I feel like I'm not that surprised because I feel like it happens a lot, but...
But that's the attitude that I'm talking about. Like, maybe people should be surprised or at least, like, put off by it.
Well, I guess I kind of wish... I wish that it were something... I agree with you, Shirson. It's something that I wish that I were surprised at, but I was just like, oh, well, duh.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm still totally grossed out by it, but it's like, God, I mean, it's so pervasive. It's such a pervasive thing. You hear about it all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just wish that it... And maybe that's just, like, the Puritan in me or something. I wish that it shocked more people mm-hmm. or that more people had a problem with the fact that, you know what, this is actually kind of gross. Mm-hmm. He's a man in his 50s who's, whether it's conscious or not, kind of cashing in on his position of power to get sex.
But, you know, that's the thing, is, like, we don't know if that was the case. Like, that's one probable way this played out, but the other probable thing is that, you know, we were saying earlier that the women staffers, or whoever he had sex with, wanted it, you know, they're not being granted that agency of... where they are in their professional life or their personal life, and overlooking that in favor of sort of seeing this, like, patronizing viewpoint of Dave.
Well, but if it had been one or two people, then I would think that, yes, that there's an issue with people sort of dismissing the agency of the women involved, but it seems to be a repeated pattern over and over.
Well, yeah, and I don't want to, like, take away from the women's, just, you know, decision-making. It does not sound like an illegal-type situation where anyone was coerced into something, but on the other hand, you know, it's hard to look at this without seeing the kind of structure that they're just in, whether they're kind of conscious of it mm-hmm. or not, where it's, he's their boss, he's famous, he's got a lot of power, and I'm not saying, yeah, that's sexually attractive to some people, but it's also just, I don't know. I mean, I don't even want to say, like, I don't want to sound like some sort of moral police who's like, he should be held to a higher standard here ethically. But on the other hand, I don't know, maybe I do feel like a moral police officer or something. I'm just like, Dave, keep it in your pants. It's gross. Like, don't, I don't know. I guess I just want to believe that it's that culture is not as pervasive as it seems to be, or that maybe we shouldn't accept it as readily as we do, because to me it's an example of just a power imbalance between yep. men and women.
We were saying earlier too that sort of the Dave scandal in context of these other scandals is different, because unlike Elliot Spitzer and who else were we saying?
John Edwards.
But yeah, like people who have like this, whose public persona is based around upstanding morals and family life, and like David Letterman is not someone who does that, so it's not as...
Right, I mean, he's self-effacing, he's not, you know, he doesn't paint himself as a moral purist, and he's not an elected official, so... It's not at all the same kind of a situation as, like, with John Edwards, where he's so hypocritical, and he also does owe an element of honesty because of the position he holds, whereas we shouldn't, I don't know if it's even a matter of should or shouldn't expect it from, like, a late-night television host, but...
Well, maybe, but I think also, like, that sounds to me like only people who have to adhere to being, like, a good person are people who publicly state that morals are important, like...
Right, as human beings, can't we just say that morals are important?
Yeah, like, as a human being, I'm grossed out. I'm just as grossed out as with the John Edwards affair. And the hypocrisy of politicians behaving that way, I guess, adds an extra layer of gross out. But it doesn't make me any less, like, disgusted with the whole situation. And also worried about what it says. I mean, granted, there is the issue of the women's agency and the whole thing, but I feel like it's funny that people, when Hillary Clinton was running for president, were like, oh, we're in a post-feminist society, and everyone questions, is there a need for, is feminism dead, and all that stuff that was online during the election. And to me, like, just this whole past couple of weeks has been, like, reinforcement that, hell yeah, we still need feminism, because look at how women are being treated.
And how easily dismissed it is.
Yes.
I think, you know, and again, we were having this conversation before the recorder wasn't working, so we have hashed it out once already. But, you know, I do believe that if the gender roles were reversed here and this was a woman in a position of power, a celebrity talk show host, I used Oprah as an example before. I don't know if that's totally great parallel, but I think people would have a different reaction and be somehow holding her to a different standard of behavior.
Well, it's also telling that how many times has this come up with, I mean, how many times does this come up with a woman versus how many times does it come up with a man? So, like, to me, that says something, that does say something about the patterns of way society works, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
right. Yeah.
There's not a stereotype of a lecherous female. I mean, once in a blue moon, maybe, but
there's, like, this cougar thing, which I think, when we also talked about Paula Abdul, and I feel it was sort of, like, the crazy cougar.
Yeah.
It was her.
Yeah, so then again,
I also don't see her as in quite the same power position, and maybe that's,
I think there's
sexist
less of
on my
moral
part,
aspect when it's an older woman doing it. Like, with Dave, it's there's more of that moral issue, but with them, it's like, oh, like, stepping out of line here.
Yeah, yeah, stepping outside of the boundaries of what you're supposed to be doing as a woman over a certain age, or as a woman, period.
Right.
So, but, I mean, yeah, so there's not, you know, there's not that many female politicians that have come out and been like, yes, I'm making this grand confession, I cheated on my wife and flew to Argentina to do it, you know, like...
Right, and
what
if
is that
one
about?
Did, I mean, what if, you know, Nancy Pelosi just came out and said, I've been having sex with one of my aides, I'm really remorseful, sorry. I mean, I just think that the reaction would be more than it is for the Letterman reaction, and I don't know if it's a good or a bad thing that people seem pretty ready to just dismiss this and not care that much about it, but I don't know. I mean, on the one hand, it's like, yeah, let's leave people's sex lives out of our daily discussion, and then on the other hand, I think, no, I do think we should have a discussion about why this isn't okay. And I mean, I do think it kind of dovetails into, you know, for instance, Roman Polanski, who was convicted of raping a 13-year-old, which is clearly much more of a cut-and-dry problem. But, I mean, I've also been surprised by how readily people are to accept his behavior.
Yeah.
You know, oh, it's not rape because... I don't even...
What,
the
what
excuses are so bullshit.
What are the excuses? I mean, remind me again, because what the hell?
A lot of the excuses, and they're coming from... I mean, it's a little bit upsetting to me because a lot of the excuses are coming from... Like, for instance, Wes Anderson. Uh-huh. I mean, just people that I really think, like, no, don't, you know? The Feminist Majority Foundation. I mean, a lot of people are just like, give the guy a break. He's old. He's had a hard life. His wife had died. You know, he was in a difficult place, and so he just decided to go ahead and rape someone. And P.S., it was a long time ago, so why can't we get over it?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and with him, too, it's like... It was also a pattern of behavior. Like, he had that whole Natasha Kinski thing where he was taking...
Yeah.
And, you know, he launched her career by taking photos of her at a very... suggestive photos of her at a very young age, which is exactly what he was doing with this other woman. And it's like, that's not a result of grief from your wife dying or your parents being in the Holocaust. That's just grody behavior.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it's, you know, guess what? He's a rapist. I guess I've been really surprised, and maybe it's just like naivete on my part, of how many people just don't see it as a problem. When to me, it is so black and white.
Yeah.
He raped a 13-year-old. He confessed it. He was convicted. Then he flew the country, and now it's like, dudes, get over it. Can't you just be cool? He's a good film director.
Remember when he won that Oscar?
Right.
Like, right. Oh, he's just trying to, like, live his life. Let that dude alone.
And it's amazing to me, like, there's a lot of portrayal. I think there's been a lot of hints that she was a little Lolita that seduced him when she had barely turned 13. He vaginally raped her, anally raped her, and sodomized.
He drugged her too.
He drugged her too, and she said repeatedly, "No, stop it," and "No, I want to go home." I mean, rarely is there a rape case that is so cut and dry.
Right, exactly. And that can maybe kind of segue, because I mean, we could keep talking about Roman Polanski forever, but everyone's talking about it right now, so I don't know if we have too much more to say that hasn't been said, except that, to be clear, we all know he's a rapist. He said he's a rapist, and that asshole should be put in jail where rapists should go. But
among other
places. This issue, which unfortunately just kind of keeps coming up,
on TV in the past week,
there right.
was like two notable rapes. One, which I think was the more dismissive one, and really handled it poorly, was on the show Californication, which is on Showtime and stars David Duchovny, and the guy who played Charlotte's husband on Sex and the City, the bald guy. But in this episode, he is living with his wife. They're going through a divorce. He wants to win her back. He walks in on her and her lover playing a role-playing rape sex game, but he doesn't get it, which doesn't make sense because he works in the porn industry. And he thinks she's actually being raped, and she's like, "What are you doing?" And he's like, "Sorry." And she's like, "It's a game. Like, get the hell out, basically."
Rape's a game.
So he comes home the next night. She's asleep alone, and he puts on, like, one of those nylons, and then starts having sex with her. She wakes up and is like, "Get the hell off me. What are you doing?" And he's like, "I'm raping you." And, like, it's, and she's, like, so pissed at him, and he, like, he's still like, "What? We're playing a rape game." Like, so basically, it was just sort of like, "Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize I was actually raping you." And it just didn't make any sense, and it was sort of just thrown in there as, it wasn't handled very well as far as examining, you know, when you are sexually assaulted by someone who, you know, you live with, who you were in a relationship with. And it was good that they showed the woman rightfully mad, but he was just so unaware of what he did was wrong. And I think his character is pretty stupid anyway, but...
That's the thing about that show, too, though, with that... that character, to me, is just sort of this, like, indulgence in the, like, baby man who... It ties into sort of this indulgence, and this is gonna sound really, like, bad, but this indulgence that men kind of receive about their bad behavior. And because I know it goes back to David Letterman for me, because I know when he did his second apology, when he said something about his wife, and now he had a lot of work to do... And there, reportedly, a lot of the women in the audience all kind of sighed, like, "Oh, isn't that sweet?"
Everyone was applauding. People were eating it up.
Yeah, I mean, and of course, it should be supported if he's going to try to get his shit together. But it's also like,
he took responsibility, but he was also like, "Don't forget, I was a victim of blackmailing."
And yeah, also, just I deserve to be commended for something that should be automatic, and you should feel bad, not good about yourself.
Exactly. Like, and I just think it's like. I think David Duchovny's character in Californication, the bits of it that I've seen have been really just, like, tedious, like baby man who has all these beautiful women falling around him, and yeah. who sleeps with his students when he was a professor, you know? And it's, like, it's just, I don't know.
I do think that, you know, it kind of shines a light on this idea that when you've sort of lived in a culture of feeling entitled to behave however you want, then that can result in... Well, in rape behavior, among other, you know, bad behaviors. And I think, you know, we definitely see it in men in positions of power that are in the spotlight, like David Letterman or, you know, the numerous politicians. I mean, John Edwards only gets grosser and grosser to me the more information that comes out. Mm-hmm. I mean, now he's, like, promising the woman who fathered his child that he's going to marry her once his wife dies of cancer and get the Dave Matthews Band to play at their wedding reception.
Sick.
And it's just like... Cool your jets. Your behavior
is not
okay.
Well, I think that's, like, why I wasn't surprised by David Letterman's thing, where it's just, like, that culture... that culture of entitlement, I feel, is so pervasive that it was just unsurprising that
right.
someone in his position would do that.
And that, I think, has also really been kind of spotlit, highlighted on this past week's episode of Mad Men, where I'm assuming... Spoiler alert if you haven't seen it, I'm assuming most people... are kind of clued into what happened. But Pete Campbell, who's kind of like resident weasel in The Office, who has definitely been shown to be somebody who's like lived a very privileged, entitled life, and he's a racist, and he grew up in a really wealthy white New England family, and he just you know, obviously has a lot of self-esteem issues that he takes out on women and has had kind of weird sexual behavior happening in the past on the show. And in last week's episode, he raped the au pair of his neighbor basically out of boredom. I mean, he helped her with a situation. She had a dress that was ruined by a stain, and he helped her to get the dress replaced. And once the dress had been replaced and he returned it to her, he acted like she owed him sex for that. And she said no. He went back to his apartment, had a couple of drinks, and then came back over and was basically like, dude, you do owe me sex. And then, like, no, it was not a physical force situation where he, like, choked her and raped her. But it read really clearly as rape to me. And again, with me just kind of being surprised, like, so many people seem to have not read it as rape, because I think a lot of people don't really want to realize that when you've been in that kind of a privileged position and you're using your power to coerce someone and basically force them into having sex with you. I mean, the woman in the show, it was pretty obvious that she didn't have the opportunity to say no. I mean, later on, her employer even went over to Pete Campbell's apartment. It was just like, hey, let's just keep it out of the building, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, boys will be boys, but don't rape my employees, rape someone else's. I mean, it was pretty obvious that, like, nobody would have been on her side if she tried to accuse him of anything. Mm-hmm. And yet, I mean, I've had conversations with several people who were just, you know, oh, I didn't read that as rape. Like, that didn't seem, you know,
like,
it's like
if they don't show,
area.
You know, a dark street corner and a stranger doing it on, like, a helpless woman, it's not seen as rape.
Mm-hmm. Right, and I think, I mean, I applaud the show for showing what I think is a lot more realistic portrayal of rape, which is that it can happen, you know, from your neighbor or somebody who looks harmless or somebody who seems like a really nice guy. I mean, we know that most reported rapes are acquaintance rapes and that it usually is someone that you know. But then I also was having a really interesting conversation with a guy friend of mine about this yesterday who said, well, this... He's like, I didn't read it as rape. And I was saying, well, here's why I did. And he just got really quiet, was like, this is making me rethink, like, as a man, if I want to have sex with my girlfriend and she's not into it and I kind of negotiate, like, couldn't we just do it anyway? Am I raping her? And I was like, no, that's not rape. Obviously, there's a difference. But I think people get uncomfortable with what a gray area it is and that the term is so loaded that people are reluctant mm-hmm. to use it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Was Pete Campbell's behavior unacceptable? Yes. Was it rape? No. And it's like, no, it was. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
I don't understand, like, why... What exactly is the line? Like, if a sexual act like that is unacceptable, wouldn't that sort of mean that it's rape? Like...
Right.
Like, you can't... I don't know. Like, how can you delineate between, like... I don't know. Like, I don't
coerced, even... like, forced sex, but it's not rape because there was no violence, or... It's the same argument people want to use with Roman Polanski, where Whoopi Goldberg is like, it's not rape, because... Basically because there's not, like, a lethal weapon involved.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, well, no, it is. I mean, rape is forced sex. Like, this is not... I don't know.
Roman Polanski thinks it's rape.
Yeah, Roman Polanski said it was rape. I guess, I mean, it's just... It's frustrating to me because it does seem like, just in the past couple of weeks... We've been seeing a lot of real life and fictional portrayals of rape that people have such kind of mixed reactions to. It just really worries me that we're still at a point where if we can't even agree that something is rape, how can we move forward and deal with it?
Right.
And, you know, I don't know. I don't know. It's frustrating to me. But it looks like, even though that's kind of a sour note to end things on, we are running out of time. So why don't we do our bitch faves really quickly? Sherston, do you have a fave this week?
I've been watching the first few episodes of Glee. And I know it's been out for a while, but it just always leaves me feeling really positive. Maybe it's the musical numbers, but I've really enjoyed.
My fave this week is, today is October 7th and on October 13th, so in between now and the next episode of Popaganda, the new Tao Win with a Get Down, Stay Down album, Know Better, Learn Faster, is coming out, and I was lucky enough to review it for the next issue of the magazine, and it is awesome. I've been listening to it a lot and loving it, and everyone I've played it for feels the same, so... If you are looking for an album pickup, it's coming out on Kill Rock Stars on October 13th, and it is totally worth it. It's majorly rad. Janana?
I have been, actually, this is kind of not so much fun because everyone probably already knows about it, but I've been revisiting my so-called life, and I had forgotten how much I loved it and just how amazing it is. So, especially with all the like cruddy new like new Melrose Place and new 90210s and all that stuff that's out, I am revisiting an old classic.
Something that I thought was really funny when I also revisited that show when it came out on DVD was that I used to identify so strongly with Angela, and now I identify with her parents more.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, I used to think she was so cool and her parents were so oppressive, and now I watch it and I'm like, dude, your parents are right.
Yeah, you know? Totally. And so I have an ex-girlfriend who wrote her master's thesis on it, and so she and I have discussed it since it came out, and so now I have all this brand new insight into it, so I'm rewatching it from a...
From an academic
point of view. There's so many, 13 ways of looking at this.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks so much, everybody, for listening to this episode of Bitch Propaganda. Next time, we will try to minimize the insane background noise. And make sure to subscribe to Bitch on iTunes so that you can get all of our podcasts.
We washed up on messy beaches. You cleaned dry.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Bitch Propaganda. The episode you just heard contained audio clips from YouTube and also from Tao Win with the Get Down, Stay Down. Make sure to subscribe to Bitch on iTunes and check out more of our audio offerings at bitchmagazine.org/audio.